97.5, The Fanatic.
Let the big dog hunt. Joe Stazeg in the house with you till 11 o'clock tonight. 4.5 action-packed hours. Deal with it. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, beyond fast. Mez on mez today. One win, one loss. The Sixers just wrapped up at the clip joint. Scored 130 points and lost. If you told me yesterday or this morning the Sixers were going to score 130 points, drop 130 on the Clippers, I'd have said, that's amazing. That's a W. Now they're 9-22 on the road. They had a big lead late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, couldn't hang on. The Clippers are a better team, as simple as that, and the Sixers are without their two stars. But they played with heart today, and they played like they looked like they were interested in their jobs. I was impressed by the way they played. Having said that, it's a loss. It doesn't matter. Again, out is Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, and you know, you can't replace those two guys. But I thought the rest of the crew played well. Shake Milton continues to dominate. He's going to get some more playing time. He keeps playing like this. He's been pretty solid so far in the absence of Ben Simmons handling the ball responsibilities. So the Sixers still at 37 wins, and the loss today, again on the road, puts them at 9-22 on the road. That is horrendous. Horrendous. I want to get to Joel Embiid in a little bit, but let's talk some positive stuff. How about Le Flyer? How about the Fly Guys? Went in there and beat up on the Rangers. Rangers had a 9-game road winning streak, snapped the other night in Philly, 5-2, and then 5-3 today. It was 4-0. It wasn't even that close. I know New York got a couple of power play goals late, but it was not that close. Travis Konecny, a goal and an assist. Derek Grant, how about Derek Grant? A goal and an assist in his first game. Jake Voracek, 2 assists. Travis Sanheim, 2 assists. Since January 8th, the Flyers are 16-5-1 with an NHL-high 82 goals. You can credit the system, Alain Vigneault's system. Attack, 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 attack with 5 men. Play defense with 5 men. 17 games left. They are 1 point behind the Capitals. Capitals on the West Coast tonight. And again, 1 point back of the Caps in the Metro Division, and they are in the top 6. They are the number 6 best team in the league right now, are the Flyers. Who would have thunk that? They've outscored the Rangers in 3 games this year, 15-6. 15-6. Sean Couturier continues to dominate. He had the flu. He played today. He suited up. He scores a goal. 53 points he has so far. Carter Hart, nice to see him get a road win today because he was 4-10-1 coming into the game on the road. Now he's 5-10-1. Awesome at home, 18-2-2. But the system works, and it works if you work it. And they've been playing good hockey, and we are wide open to talk Flyers hockey tonight. Of course, the 76ers take center stage because they are, again, a dysfunctional unit and a constant disappointment, if you ask me. And it starts with the face of the franchise, Joel Embiid. Starts with the face of the franchise, Joel Embiid. I kind of hammered him yesterday. I didn't say anything that wasn't factually accurate. In 2 weeks, this is what you get from Joel Embiid. You get some tete-a-tete on social media. You get a 49-point game against Atlanta. You get a $25,000 fine for flipping off an Atlanta Hawk. You get a poor game against Giannis and the Bucks where you only score 17 points. And, of course, the obligatory MRI to see if he has any structural shoulder damage. He's out again. If you are a head coach driving to the game every night, and you have no idea what you're going to get from your big man, that's the kind of thing that gets you fired. But the fans alike, heading to the game or sitting at home watching it on TV. I have no idea what I'm getting out of Joel Embiid from night to night. And I got to be honest, thought about it long and hard. I don't see this team winning anything with Joel Embiid, at least the way it is right now. He's got to really get serious about playing basketball and change his ways, his work ethic, his diet. He embarrasses the organization. He's immature. And it's a shame because he's a funny dude, very likable. But, you know, he tends to embarrass the organization and he embarrasses himself. And you don't know what you're getting out of him every night. Again, a 49-point game last week and a 17-point game against the Bucks, the hottest team in the league. And they got destroyed. That tells me they're nowhere close to the Bucks. Nowhere close, in my opinion. And again, you throw today's game out. It was a hard-fought game. Good effort by the 76ers. I liked what I saw in terms of desire and effort and will to win. Clippers are a better team, and you don't have Ben Simmons. You don't have Joel Embiid. Probably would have won the game if you had one of those guys, but it didn't happen. Again, throw this game out. You don't have your two top guys. You know, and the West Coast trip continues, and you know, it's off to a bad start. Again, 9-22 on the road. You got to win on the road to win in the playoffs if you are to have any chance of playing for a title. And I got to be honest, and I want your opinion on this. If you agree with me or don't agree with me, I don't think they're going to win anything with Joel Embiid as their leader. I don't think they're going to win anything. It's unfortunate because I think he's got all the talent in the world. You don't know what you're getting out of him from night to night. There's too much inconsistency. And he's always hurt. I went over this yesterday. Since 2017, he's had left knee surgery, a sore knee, back tightness. These are all reasons he missed games. Sore back, sore hand, sore ankle, facial contusion, migraine headache, left knee soreness, ankle, back, illness, knee, upper respiratory infection. This year alone, an ankle, a lip, a hip, an illness, a knee, a hand, a neck, and now a shoulder. What can you say about that? Again, he makes Carson Wentz look like Brett Favre. You know, Iron Man. Joel Embiid, in 6 years, has played 43% of the games. 43% of the games. In the years he did play, because the first 2 years he didn't play, he's played 66% of the games. And in the playoffs, 86% of the games. You need him on the court. You need him to stay healthy, and he is injury prone. You know, you got your two superstars in town, Carson Wentz and Joel Embiid. They're both injury prone, both disappointments. And I like Carson Wentz. Let me dispel that misnomer, you know, because I get hammered around here for people thinking I don't like Carson Wentz. I do, but he's never around when you need him. And that's a problem. I know the organization is getting frustrated because they've made the playoffs 3 straight years, which is hard to do, really hard to do. With some miraculous finishes. Carson Wentz, give him credit for a miraculous finish this year. Nick Foles last year. But he takes 8 snaps in a playoff game and he's done. Again, he looks like Brett Favre to Joel Embiid. And I don't think they're going to win anything with Embiid as their leader. What say you? 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Dave and Drew, hang in there. Two of my favorite callers on the other side. And we have Anthony Sanfilippo at 710. He writes for Crossing Broad. We'll talk some Flyers with him. Cannot wait. Big win for the Flyers. They have won 6 in a row, and they are red hot. I'm Joe Stazak here till 11 o'clock. Coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's right, Lankenau Hospital, yours truly, November 9th, 1966. The beginning of an era. I'm Joe Stazak. Here till 11 o'clock tonight. We got four more hours. Cannot wait. Having a good time with all y'all. Sixers just dropped one to the Clippers, 136-130, a high-scoring game. The Sixers are known for their defense, one of the better defensive teams in the league. They gave up 136 points. I'll go over the numbers as soon as we have internet. You know, shocking that there's a technical problem here, but we'll have internet shortly, and we're going to take your calls. We have Anthony Sanfilippo coming up at 7:10 to talk a little Flyers. Right now, let's talk a little Sixers with Dave, my man in Center City. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, David?
Joseph, how are you?
How you doing, pal?
What a beautiful day today. Look, before I give a big bravo to the Sixers, let me say this to the Flyers. I'm proud of what you guys are doing, but do me a favor. If you get to the Stanley Cup, win it this time. The last six trips to the Stanley Cup were lost.
I know.
I need a parade. It's been 74. I was 11 years old when I was there.
Unfortunately, those six times, they ran into dynasties. It wasn't like a fluke. Dynasties, you know, the Islanders, the Oilers, the Blackhawks, the Canadians.
The Canadians, Joseph, big. And I want to kind of soothe you a little bit with Embiid. You are 90% right. But first of all, big bravo to the Sixers. I want to commend Brett Brown on doing his Dougie Pete impersonation. I want to commend Shaq Milton on doing his Nikki Sixx impersonation. What a beautiful showing by the basketball team. And let me tell you something, Clippers. You cannot beat our team at full strength in a best of three, a best of five, a best of seven. So just remember that.
It was a good effort. I got to admit, you know, effort, you know, without a win doesn't mean a ton, but I liked what they displayed today.
Yeah. And I don't like Kapler. I love Dougie Pete, the best coach in football. Brett Brown, he's teetering towards Kapler, but he's got me leaning towards him being a Dougie Pete. Joseph,
yes.
You raised an interesting point, okay? The shenanigans, the injuries, the hypochondria of...
Yeah.
Of now, Joe, we may be able to get all these planets aligned perfectly where Simmons looks like magic for a month of playoff games, where Embiid does resemble Elijah Wan and Chamberlain. We'll win one title, hopefully, but that's all we're going to win, Joseph.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. David, I appreciate it, man. I got to run. Yeah. Thanks for calling, pal.
Okay.
Have a great night. I don't think they're ready to make that step. All hands on deck. They can do some damage. I don't think they can't touch the Bucks. And with the way the Celtics are playing, Jason Tatum's turning into a superstar, Jalen Brown hitting that big shot last night or two nights ago to send the game into overtime, they're coming along. They're gelling. Sixers are dysfunctional. They're just dysfunctional right now. Starts with the head coach. And, you know, Dave said he's teetering on Brett Brown. I'm ready for a change. And I think if they don't make it to the finals, not the conference finals, to the NBA finals, Brett Brown is coaching his last few games as a 76ers head coach. Just my opinion. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Yo, what's going on, big dog?
How are you, man? Buddy? Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. So, let's talk a little Sixers here. I mean, I think it's amazing what can happen when you've got guys shooting, you know, three-point shots and actually, you know, making
them.
Shots. Yeah, right, you know. I mean,
difference when they're going in.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, kudos to Shake Milton for having the game of his life today.
He's been great.
We're not going to see that every game, so... I mean, we got to take it for what it was worth. But first, the Clippers on the road, I mean, that's just, he couldn't ask for anything more with Simmons and Embiid being out.
It was a good effort, you know. It's good effort. I mean, I never expected that.
Moral victory. I mean, it's not going to show up in the win column, but hopefully down the road it might lead to some things when those guys do get back, and maybe Brett can figure out a rotation to get these guys going. But if I could throw in a little hockey too, just real quick.
Sure.
I mean, as far as the confidence goes between the Sixers and the Flyers right now, I'd have to say my confidence is more with the Flyers going further in the playoffs than the Sixers, because I think the Sixers are relatively going to probably be a fourth or fifth seed playing Miami. I think that's pretty much dialed in for the most part. I don't see us getting a three seed, and I don't see the Pacers moving up really. So I think we're locked into that four or five seed versus Miami. Whereas the Flyers, I mean, they could go as far as winning that division versus over Washington.
How about
Pittsburgh's
that, huh?
Pittsburgh's falling apart, six losses in a row. And every other team around them's not doing well either. I mean, the Flyers keep beating the Rangers. Columbus isn't doing that great. Carolina's not doing that great. The Islanders. So if the Flyers keep doing what they're doing, stay relatively healthy, and it's going to be an interesting playoff run for the Flyers, I think. And it clearly comes out of nowhere. It's definitely an unexpected season for them.
Yeah, I love it. Drew, I appreciate it, man. I got to run. Love what they're doing. This seems legit. To me, they remind me of the 87 team that took the Oilers to the finals with Tim Kerr, although Tim Kerr was injured for the finals. He led the team in points that year, 95 points. Peter Zezel, Dave Poulin, Brian Propp, Pelly Eklund, Rick Tocchet, Murray Craven, Doug Crossman, Brad McCrimmon, Scott Mellenby, Derek Smith, Ilka Sinisalo, Ron Sutter, and the list goes on. They were deep. They weren't tremendously talented and didn't have a superstar, whereas Edmonton had 9 Hall of Famers on that team. But they scrapped, they scraped, they clawed, and they had all the heart in the world. They just ran out of gas. And it's tough to knock the Oilers off in 7 games. But to me, this team reminds me of that team. They're pretty deep. They have heart. They have a little bit of talent. I like some of the moves they made. I love the Kevin Hayes move. I know people killed that when it was happening. It was a tremendous move. You know, Giroux is picking up his game. The top line's doing a Couturier, man. I don't know what else you can say about Sean Couturier. Had the flu, suited up, scored a goal today. He may be the best player on the team. I've always thought that Giroux was, but Couturier may have taken the torch away from him. Let's go to Patrick in Bethlehem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, what's up, Joe?
How are you, man?
Good, good. So here's the big problem with the Sixers. The roster construction and the moves have just been awful. Like, okay, number one, look at 2 years ago. They had Saric, they had Covington, and now 2 years later, are they any better with all these trades, all these big signings? Are they any better of a team than 2 years ago?
They're worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're worse than they were. They're not as good as they were last year because they had more talent last year, and they had an alpha dog in Jimmy Butler, and they had a closer in Jimmy Butler. They don't have that.
Yeah, and they overvalued Tobias Harris. He was a player.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he got a max contract.
Yep. That's such a joke. He was having a great year on a bad team, and he's a journeyman. And, you know, the Markelle Fultz. So many bad things. Like, just bad move after bad move.
Disaster.
And Elton Brand has done an awful job with this team. Awful job. And look at it this way. This team's stuck. There's nothing you can do with Tobias Harris. I mean, and who's going to take Al Horford? They talk about trading him. What team in their right mind would give you anything for him?
Got a pretty big contract, too, at $109
million. Absolutely. I mean, it's just the roster moves. I think 2 years ago, if they had stuck with it, not made all these trades and going all in just to try to win last year, I should say, I think they could have kept improving slowly. And they don't develop anybody either. Like who's one player that they've drafted and who has really improved on this team in the past 5 years?
That's a good question. And I think it's time for Brett Brown to go, and I appreciate the call, my friend. We got to go. We have Anthony Sanfilippo on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, he writes for Crossing Broad, old friend of mine. We used to do some things at Fox together. How are you, Anthony? Are you there, brother? Anthony, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm most pleased right now with a 6-game winning streak. Read your article today, loved it. And what has turned this team around from last year? They have one less win right now, I believe, than they had all of last year. And they have 82 goals since, like, January 8th, most in the league, and they're a top six team. Where did this come from?
It's accountability, Joe. That's really what it is. I mean, you know, I got to give Chuck Fletcher a little bit of credit because he made some tweaks to the lineup that have turned out to be really good tweaks, you know, trading for Matt Niskanen, trading for Justin Braun, you know, bringing in like Tyler Pitlick, and then the two trades here at the deadline, Nate Thompson, Derek Grant. These are like little tweaks to the periphery of this team, but really it comes down to the accountability that is being held up to these players by the coach, Alain Vigneault, and his assistant coaches who have, you know, a wealth of experience as head coaches in the league, both Michel Therrien and Mike Yeo. I think that is the biggest difference, not just from last year, I would say the last 5-6 years with this team and this season.
Yeah, 1,296 games between Mike Yeo and Michel Therrien. They have a lot of experience as head coaches. Let me ask you this, Anthony, because Carter Hart has not been very good on the road, had a nice game today. He's very good at home, but he struggles on the road. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just an experience and an age issue. I don't want to say maturity. I almost said maturity, but then I got myself. because he is a mature guy for his age, for being 21. But it's really not, you know, he's not experienced. He's only played a little over 1 year in the NHL. People forget that. I mean, it's been 16 months that he's been an NHL player. So, and this is the first time he's had as significant a workload as he's had. And I think that that's been part of it as well. You get out on those, you know, earlier in the season, the Flyers had lengthier road trips. And when they go on those road trips, man, I mean, that's tough to bounce from city to city to city and to kind of get your mind and body right when you do that. Now, you look like, the road trips now are one at most two games. They're not traveling too far. It's mostly Eastern time zone. It's a little bit easier to manage those. And I think that you're going to see a different Carter Hart on the road here in the final month and a half of the season heading into the playoffs. I really just think that's what it is. I thought he played fine today. I thought he was okay in the road win he had against, I believe it was Florida or Columbus, whichever one it was. I think it was Florida 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see it change a little bit for him. So I think that's something that I wouldn't put too much stock in. The whole team struggled earlier in the season on the road, and now they're playing better, right? So I think it's kind of hand in hand, to be honest.
Anthony Sanfilippo from Crossing Broad on the Comcast Business Hotline. Kevin Hayes has been quite the acquisition. They gave up a fifth-round pick for his negotiating rights. What am I missing about Kevin Hayes? He's been awesome. The Rangers gave up on him, traded him to Winnipeg, and then they turn around and give him to the Flyers for a fifth-round pick. What am I missing with Kevin Hayes?
I'll be honest with you, Joe. It's only the first season, so ultimately the jury is still out on the contract that he signed, $7 million a year for 7 years, but he's been great. He's been better than expected. Kevin Hayes had kind of I don't want to say a reputation, but historically he had always been a streaky player, and he would give you production over the span of, you know, 6 or 7 games, and then he'd disappear for 6 or 7 games. And that was the kind of player that he was. Since he's gotten here, I think the first month was tough for him because he was dealing with the pressure of that new contract. But once he started to realize like what his role was going to be and how he was going to be utilized and what the coaches expected from him and how he fit into the locker room, he's been fantastic ever since. And he's a gregarious guy. He's well liked. And I think it just kind of meshes with the attitude of the team. And he brings a little bit of a fun element. And if he's having fun, I think he plays better. And if he's playing better, then the team's playing better. So I think it's all kind of symbiotic, really. And I, you know, he's been really good. I mean, he's second on the team in goals with 22. He's on pace to have a 50-point season, which is great. He's a great penalty killer. He's really good with the puck, possessing the puck and keeping the puck away from the opposition. And he's a little bit of a chirper, so he gets in under the skin a little bit of the other team. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a good role for him, and I think it's made a big difference for the Flyers.
It is a tremendous acquisition. Let me ask you this. Alain Vigneault has a lot of pedigree. He's been to two finals. What is the biggest difference from Dave Hakstol to Alain Vigneault?
Well, it's the fact that he has that pedigree, right? I think guys are more willing to buy into what he's saying than they were to a guy who's never coached in the league before.
You don't think they have respect for Dave Hakstol?
I think it's, I don't want to say they lacked respect, but I think that if they didn't get early success with him, and then it was like, well, what is, you know, maybe you start questioning whether what he's saying is the right thing or not. I think what it is, I think if you look at Vigneault's track record, every team that he's coached, Vancouver, Montreal, the Rangers, and now the Flyers, most of his success was early in his tenure. So his message works early on. And, you know, the Flyers had, I wouldn't say instant success, but they were better at the beginning of the season and weren't chasing the standings, you know, come December, like they had been the past 6 years. And so I think that once that happens and you sit there and go, oh, all right, well, he's got us in a better position than we've been in the past, and it's the same group of guys, well, then they buy in. And once players buy in to a coach's system, you get what you're getting right now from the Flyers. So I think that's the difference between him and Hakstol, is the fact that they believe in him because he has a track record and it brought early success.
The Flyers lead the league in yielding the fewest shots per game, 28.6. Mm-hmm. I talked to Matt Niskanen last week at the Carnival, and he led the league, I think, 2 years ago in blocked shots, 57. I asked him if he likes doing that because he's good at it. He said, hell no. It's a big sacrifice. I don't like doing it, but I have to do it because it helps the team win. What are they doing defensively to keep the goaltender, you know, his lines of vision clear and to not give up a lot of quality chances?
I'll tell you right now, you're 100% right with the fact that they have allowed the fewest shots on goal. But even more so, they've allowed the fewest shot attempts in the league as well. And that's even more impressive because that includes block shots, shots that don't get on goal that miss the net. So they're not even allowing other teams to get shot attempts. And so what's happening there is that's a commitment to the team defensive system. And it's mostly tied into the forwards. I don't want to take anything away from the defenseman because the defenseman has played really well as well. But
it
really comes down to the fact that those forwards are willing to forecheck hard, play, attack the puck in the neutral zone rather than let the other team just have an easy entry up ice and enter the Flyers zone with speed. And then also to be aggressive in their own end, getting sticks in lanes, block shots, like prevent the other team from really setting up. I think that leads to a lot of, you know, the success that the Flyers have had in limiting other teams, because now instead of them, you know, coming through the neutral zone with speed and being able to set up in the Flyers zone, other teams have to work for 200 feet. They have to skate and get through defensive pressure at every level. And that by the time they get into the Flyers zone, more often than not, they're at the end of a shift. And it's like, all right, we got to change. And then the only solution is to play dump it in and chase the puck. And the Flyers are really good at getting to the puck and winning board battles. So really, that's what it comes down to. And if the Flyers are able to make, this is playoff defense that they're playing right
now.
And if they play like this a month from now, as they get into April, then you're really talking about a team that could go a lot further than I think any of us ever expected.
Is this team just hot right now, or are they that good? Because they're up there with the Bruins and the Lightning, the elite of the league, 1 point behind the Caps. I think they're undefeated against the Caps, and they have a strong record. I don't have the exact record in front of me against the top six teams in the league, and right now they're the sixth best team in the league. I wouldn't call them elite, but how much damage do you think they could do in the postseason?
Yeah, someone asked me this today, and I said that I think that this team, having watched them all year and see where they're at now and watching the other teams in the division and the conference, I think the Flyers are the best team in the Metropolitan Division. And that's better than Washington, better than Pittsburgh. I think that they could very easily, and yeah, I think that they're going to reach the Eastern Conference Final. That said, I don't like them against Boston or Tampa.
Okay. I agree.
It doesn't mean that I think that they would get wiped out by either of those teams. I think they would still be very, very competitive. But I don't think that they win a seven-game series yet against either of those teams. But if I said to you at the beginning of the year, Joe, Flyers are going to have a shot to win the division this year. It's going to be March, and they're going to play the Capitals in Washington with first place on the line, which can happen if Washington loses to the Wild tonight. And then they're going to make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals. You would have taken that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah. after what we've gone through the last 8 years. So I think that there's a real chance for success for this team to play well into the month of May.
Well, I certainly hope so. Anthony Sanfilippo from Crossing Broad, you can catch his stuff. A great article today, pal. Hey, great catching up with you. I haven't talked to you in a while, but I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time. It was great stuff, pal.
Yeah, you got it, Joe. Anytime, my friend.
Thanks, Anthony. Anthony Sanfilippo from Crossing Broad on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, he's the best. I used to do a lot of stuff with him at Fox, and then he got a full-time job with the Flyers. He was kind of took over the thing that I used to do down there. I used to do the keys to the game and interview guys at in between periods, and he became like the in-house, kind of like the Dave Spadaro of the Flyers. He writes for Crossing Broad right now and does a great job, and he knows his stuff. I'm pumped. I got to be honest. I'm pumped hearing all these positive things about the Flyers. Top six team in the league. Anthony thinks they can get to the conference finals. Do I think they can make a serious run at the Cup? No, I don't. I don't think they're talented enough. I think they need some more speed. They have goaltending, finally. At least I believe they have goaltending, finally. And they're deep. They're very deep, and they've improved from last year. And the head coach is worth several more wins than when they were with Dave Hakstol, and he certainly brings a pedigree and, you know, demands respect. And I think he's also a player's coach, but he demands respect, and they bought into the system, and it shows. Six straight wins. 610-632-0975. Joe Stasek. Flyers on the table. Sixers on the table. They lost to the Clippers tonight, 136-130. Flyers beat the Rangers 5-3 this afternoon. I'm Joe Stasek. Give me a call. Coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. It is March 1st, 2020. Thank God February is behind us. The worst month of the year. It went very quickly. And now we have to deal with the lousy March weather. But soon it will be April, and playoffs are just around the corner. Flyers have what do they have now? I love this stuff that they come up with. They have a 90, according to hockeyreference.com, which is a tremendous website for all your information, which we have none of right now because we have no internet, but 94.6% chance to make the playoffs do the Flyers. 16-5-1 since January 8th. And since that time, the Bruins have 72 points. The Lightning have 71 points. The Flyers have 70 points. They are among the elite feet So, and they're a fun to watch team. And G finally is getting it together. And the defense, I love the Matt Niskanen move. He brings a pedigree with him, playing with Provy. And, you know, if you want to talk some hockey, please give me a call because I hear so many complaints throughout the year. We never talk hockey. Well, here we go. It is time to talk pucks. If you want to talk Sixers as well, we can. Good effort tonight. But effort equals squadouche if you don't get a win. They gave up 136 points tonight. Scored 130, gave up 136. Didn't play much defense. Offensively, very good without their two superstars, or their two stars. I wouldn't put them in the superstar categories. But, you know, I mentioned this early in the show, and I talked about Joel Embiid yesterday, and you have no idea what you're getting night to night. I don't think they can win a title with him. The way he is right now. Do you think the stuff he does lends itself to being a good leader? When he drops F-bombs and P-bombs in press conferences and flips guys off, you got to handle yourself with some class and some professionalism. And the way he doesn't take care of his body, besides the fact he's hurt all the time, I don't see them winning a title with Joel Embiid. Not that they're poised to make a run yet either. I mean, no one's getting by Milwaukee in the East. They're that good. You look at Giannis. Big difference. First of all, he's always healthy. He's got that fire in his eyes. He's got that killer instinct. I don't see that in Joel Embiid. You know, hell of a talent. 49 points last week. Against the Hawks, I believe. Of course, he throws in a clunker 17 against Milwaukee. Again, you don't know what you're going to get from your big man. It's a rudderless ship. There's no leader on this team. No alpha dog. And a soft head coach. And I think the team's soft, unfortunately. And Ben Simmons backed me up on that. He came out and said we're soft. Especially on the road. They get down big. They look disinterested. Body language is bad. Got to win on the road if you want to advance in the postseason. Ken and Ben Salem, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Ken?
Hey, what's going on? I just want to say I feel like everybody just bagging on the Sixers. You know, too bad they in fifth place. They right where they need to be. For the injuries, I'm glad they're getting them out midseason because, you know, other teams are going to be hurt once the playoff comes. I'd rather for our players to get their little injury list out right now and get it over with. Like, you know, Brett Brown, I definitely believe he needs to be replaced, but I'm not mad at the team. We holding it down in fifth place. It's a hard division. What do you want?
I would like to see more consistency on a nightly basis, and I would like to see my star stay on the court, and I'd like to see him play like he can play, like he's one of the best players in the league.
I mean, I think that's part of the problem. I think the stars spend too much time on the court. I think they got a good bench that they don't play. You can't criticize a bench that you don't play. I believe Quinn should get more time. I believe the guy, what's his name, Pele, the center. I believe Zaire should get more time, and maybe that'll help prevent some of the injuries.
Yeah, but do you want your bench players playing more time and having your starters play less time?
I don't believe the bench players are getting enough time. I believe they're leaving the starters out there too long, even when they're up on games with large leads or whatever. I believe they playing the starters too long. That's just my personal belief. And you got to give the guys on the bench time enough to develop. You seen what happened with Milton today. I believe Zaire should get more time. They don't give him no time. Where's he at? I don't see him. I know he's a talent. I don't see him at all.
Yeah, he hasn't got much time. Shake Milton's been great. I appreciate the call, Ken. Shake Milton's been awesome. What a pleasant surprise. Taking over the point guard responsibilities with Ben Simmons out with that lower back issue. That could be a problem. You mess with your back, that could be an extended period of time that you miss. Joel Embiid, no structural damage. I've never seen a big guy get hurt so often. Never seen that. He's always hurt. He was hurt at Kansas when he played 1 year there. He had a back issue and a knee issue. Then he has a freak accident banging into Markelle Fultz, breaks his orbital bone. Other than that, he's got nagging injuries, knees, ankles, lips, hand, knee surgery, upper respiratory infection. I've never seen a guy with so many issues that he can't stay on the court. He needs a note from Epstein's mother every time out, every game he misses, and he misses a lot of games. Again, since he was drafted number three overall in 2014, he's played 43% of the games. 43% of the games. Take away the first 2 years and just go the last four, he's played 66% of the games. A little better. And in the postseason, 86% of the games. I'd like to see that number get bumped up to 100. They need him. They need him to be more professional. They need him to take it more seriously. I talked about it yesterday. You know, there's a saying in business, when you're in a serious job, have some fun with it. Lighten up. You know, a tech position, lawyer, doctor, politician. When you're in the business of fun, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jonathan Stewart. All those guys took comedy seriously. Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Larry Bird, Tim Duncan, all dialed in. Giannis, the Greek Freak. They take their game seriously. Joel Embiid likes to have a lot of fun. That's fine. I would overlook it, except it becomes a problem when you have other issues that you haven't addressed, like the weight issue, like being out of shape. I know you can't necessarily prevent injuries from happening. They just occur. But again, he's got the Carson Wentz bug times 10. He's always banged up. I've never seen a big guy hurt so often. They did play well today. It was an exciting game, and they had the lead for a better part of the game. But Kawhi's the man. I mean, he's just a superstar. I picked the Clippers to win the whole thing at the beginning of the year. A little bit of a disappointment so far, but postseason hasn't come around. And Kawhi, you know, if he can do anything like he did last year with Toronto, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. Of course, the Lakers, they have a big two in Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Here's my issue. You look at, you know, to win a championship, I think you need a big three. Be nice if you had a big four like Golden State had when Kevin Durant was healthy. But you look at the Celtics, what they're doing right now. Kemba Walker, 22-4-5. Jason Tatum, 23-7-3. Jaylen Brown, 25-2. You know, that's their big three. All averaging over 20 points per game. You have the Lakers, they only have a big two. It's a pretty good big two, though. LeBron, 25-8-10. Anthony Davis, 26-9-3. That's their big two. You go to the Rockets, James Harden and Russell Westbrook reunited. James Harden, 35-6-7. Russell Westbrook, 28-8-7. You get to the Sixers, numbers are down compared to what I just talked about. Ben Simmons, 16-8-8. Joel Embiid was a 28-14 guy last year. He's regressed, 23-12-3. And Tobias Harris is just stealing money. Stealing money, 19-7-3. To me, he's just a guy. Maybe he's a little better than just a guy. Once in a while, you'll see an explosion. And he'll put in an impressive performance. But they gave up a sniper, a guy who's turning into a sniper, Landry Shamet, and the right to four draft picks for Tobias Harris, who should not be even close to a max guy. Not my money, but it's ridiculous. He gets paid more than Kawhi. 610-632-0975. Tyree, hang in there. And we have some open phone lines right now. We're talking Joel Embiid. I don't think they can win at anything with this guy. What do you say? Give me a call. It's Joe Stajak here till 11 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It will make you melt. Linda back to the line. Front to the net. The rebound. Oh, the players score. It bounces off the post right to Matt Niskanen. And Niskanen, I believe, finally fired it home. His eighth goal of the year. Abe Kubel had the first rebound. I thought that hit the post until Niskanen put it in. The Flyers take the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, Abe Kubel had... He slid the puck between the defenseman's legs, and it went cross ice, hit the post, and it was sitting there for Matt Niskanen. And he banged it home. Power play goal. They had in the first period alone two power play goals and a shorty. It was an impressive win today. They gave up a couple of goals late, got a little hairy, but not really. They put this one away early. You know, Flyers looking like they're one of the elite teams right now. With what they've done so far, 1 point behind the Caps. Caps play the Wild tonight. If they lose, the Flyers can take first place in the Metro on Wednesday night when they play the Caps. And they're 2-0-1 against the Caps so far this year. They've owned the Caps. Fun to watch. Fun to watch. But again, the main topic of the night is, you know, I had a chance to think about it a little bit more seriously. You know, I said how Joel Embiid is inconsistent and he needs to get serious about his game and stay off, you know, the social media and, you know, stop yapping so much and, you know, flapping your gums in the post-game press conference and work on your diet. And I don't think they can win anything with him. I'm convinced of it. I don't think they win anything with Joel Embiid the way he is right now. Can he mature, turn his game around? He's all the talent in the world. But he hasn't put it together. You'll see a 49-point game like he had a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago against Atlanta, a 17-point game against Giannis, the MVP. Busts up his shoulder, gets fined for flipping off one of the Hawks. You know, he needs to act more professional. To me, oftentimes he acts unprofessional. And he's the face of the franchise. That's your leader. Guys are going to want to follow you. And they see this. They see how you act. They see how you don't detail your work. They see how you don't care enough to drop pounds and stop eating crap. You know, nothing you can do about being injury prone. Boy, is he injury prone. Like I said, he makes Carson Wentz look like Eli Manning or Brett Favre. Guys that have played like every game. But, yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere with this guy. Just my opinion. You know, if you think I'm wrong, let me know. I want to hear an argument from the other side that tells me that they're going to be fine with this guy in charge. This guy leading the troops. He doesn't act like a leader. He acts like a buffoon. You know, listen, good guy, funny, intelligent. Can't control his emotions, is impulsive, isn't as hungry as he should be. If you watch Giannis play every night, he's a monster. He's got that eye of the tiger. He's got that fire in his eyes. I don't see that in Joel Embiid. Takes too many three-pointers. Hell, it'd be nice if Ben Simmons took a page out of Embiid's book. Shot a little bit from outside. You know, to me, when Embiid launches those three-pointers, it's almost as good as a turnover. Once in a while, he'll knock one down. He does it too often. He needs to play down low, and I think they can coexist. I know there's a lot of talk, well, they can't coexist, and the team suffers when they're both on the court. I don't believe that. All I know is the team is flawed, really flawed, in a lot of different areas. So I know a lot of Sixers fans think that they can still put this together, and maybe they can. If they get home court advantage, if they, you know, usurp Miami and become a fourth seed, they're incredibly different at home. They look like a contender at home. They do. They look like a real contender at home. But they're mutts on the road. Too inconsistent. Got to have more consistency. Got to play at the highest level you can with desire. The other thing is, I don't think they hate to lose. I think they almost accept it. And the leadership, you know, attitude reflects leadership. And Brett Brown, to me, doesn't command his troops. He doesn't command the respect he should. I think he's too much of a Mr. Softy. And guys know they can run over him. He's a hell of a nice guy, all indications. But the players do what they want. I know they have the leverage. They have the power. They're making millions upon millions upon millions of bucks. But still, the coach is in charge. And you have to take charge. He's not around next year. Unless they pull off some miraculous run in the postseason. Let's go to Billy in New York. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, man? I just wanted to tilt my hat to Shake Milton and the guys tonight, even though we didn't come out with the win. Just moving forward, it shows that once we have the stars back in the lineup, that the Sixers can be very dangerous in the playoffs, no matter what seed we're in. I think we're the only team in the East other than Milwaukee. No matter what seed we're in, we'll go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's just what I'm going to say.
Is that good enough for you, making it to the Eastern Finals?
No, it's not. It's not good enough because if we don't make it to the championship this year, I think it's about time to gut it all out and get rid of Brett Brown. You know, because he's not getting through to the players, because even in a game like this, you know, he just start letting it slip away. You know, because I honestly feel like we should have won that game tonight.
Yeah, they had a couple leads, a couple big leads. But listen, the Clippers are, and I appreciate the call, Billy. Clippers are a better team, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, it's a 48-minute game, and you play to the echo of the whistle. And Toronto's a better squad. They have, like, if not the best player on the planet, top three in Kawhi Leonard. I don't have his numbers in front of me because the internet's still down. You gotta love it here. Ladies and gentlemen, 97.5 The Fanatic. Still not up. Still not up. Incredible. That's good guy. Oh, there it is. Look at this. Look at this. How about that? Giannis reels off a 40-20-5 game in 35 minutes tonight. They beat Charlotte 93-85. I'll repeat that. The Greek Freak pulled off a 40-20-5 game in 35 minutes tonight. Sixers don't have that. An occasional game, a 49-point game, 15 rebounds. But his numbers aren't as good as last year. To me, he's taking a step back. And Ben Simmons, your point guard, won't shoot, refuses to shoot, and expand his game and get better. You know, to me, it's just a flawed bunch. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the process had all the potential in the world. It's not over. Let's just say they move Embiid in the offseason. I'm not saying they should. Don't get me wrong. I'm not moving in that direction. It would not shock me, though, if they kind of blew up the team. Because I don't think they're going anywhere this year, and it will be the third team third time they've made the playoffs in consecutive years and nothing to show for it. Might be time to make some changes. We shall see. 610-632-0975. Joe Stasiak here till 11 o'clock tonight. Stick around, folks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.